Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, where we read as follows in the name of Jesus. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said more than that, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." I recall my father telling me on several occasions that not a day went by that he did not think of his father. My father died on November 4th, 1995, and during the past 13 years, 4 months, and 11 days, not a day has gone by that I have not thought of my father. I loved my father very much, and I miss him. I miss him primarily because he taught me God's Word. He taught me when I was a child. He taught me when I was a man. Through him, God gave me a love for theology and a desire to preach it and teach it and indoctrinate others in that same saving truth that captured my own heart. I cannot dissociate my father from my teacher because he was both at the same time. But I would rather be a Christian than a Preuss. Blood is not thicker than theology. No, God's word trumps every relationship of blood, marriage, family, or kin. I grew up with children who rejected the faith in which they were raised, and I have taught children who embraced the faith for which their parents had little use. I've seen families where one sibling embraced it and others rejected it. One thing is certain, you cannot inherit the Christian faith from your parents. It is as Jesus said, you must be born from above. We ought to venerate the mother of our Lord. I can't think of a woman who should be honored more highly than she. Not only did she submit to becoming the mother of God in true obedience and humble faith, but she also remained devoted to her son, not only as his mother, but also as a dutiful disciple. And Jesus honored her. When he was suffering and dying on the cross, he saw her, and he committed her to the care of the Apostle John. Early church tradition has it that Mary, the mother of our Lord, lived out her life in Ephesus, where John cared for her as if she were his own mother. When the woman in the crowd cried out to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you," she wasn't entirely out of line. Jesus didn't rebuke her. After all, Mary was blessed, was she not? When the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her that she would be the mother of the Son of God, he greeted her with these words, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." And Mary herself said, "From now on, all generations shall call me blessed." Mary, as the mother of our Lord, was truly blessed. She was uniquely blessed, such as no other woman who has ever lived. Think of it. She gave birth to God. Yes, it was God in the flesh who came from Mary's womb. It was the incarnate God who nursed at Mary's breasts. But the woman from the crowd missed the point of true blessedness. It did not come from being the mother of Jesus. It came from being a believer in Jesus. Mary was a Christian. She responded to Gabriel with these words, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." There is true blessedness. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary didn't say, let it be to me according to my desires. She didn't base her faith on her feeling. Mary didn't say, let it be to me according to the expectations of the crowd. She didn't base her faith on popular opinion. She didn't say, let it be to me according to your inscrutable and unknowable will. She knew what God was promising. God was promising that she would give birth to the Savior, and she wanted what God wanted to give her. To say amen to what God promises is what makes someone truly blessed. Mary, the mother of our Lord, was blessed more by hearing the word than by bearing the word. We honor Mary and all Christians who have gone before by hearing the word they heard and keeping it. Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To hear means we listen and we believe. Hear doesn't simply mean hear. It means hear with faith. It means to take in. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To keep it means to guard it, to treasure it, to protect it. We hear people tell us that we don't need to protect God's word. We don't need to contend for it. This, they say, is the wrong attitude to take. Defending God's word, they claim, is indicative of a lack of faith. We simply share God's word and let the word do what the word does. Well, the word does what it does. There's no doubt about that. God's word has the power to convict the hardest heart of sin and bring the proud and boastful to their knees in humble repentance. God's word has the power to take out the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, as God promised through the prophet Ezekiel. People with no hope are given hope through the almighty power of God's word. But God's word also needs to be defended, protected, guarded. Keep it, Jesus said. Guard it. Someone is out there trying to falsify it and steal it away from you. Jesus came into this world to do battle with the devil, and that battle rages today. On the one hand, Jesus has already won. On the other hand, the battle goes on. Jesus has already won. He resisted the devil's temptations and drove him away with the word of God. He invaded Satan's kingdom, casting out devils, healing those possessed by evil spirits, and then he crushed Satan's head on the cross, where he bore the sin of the human race. When Jesus took upon himself the weight of the world's sin and suffered the punishment for it, he took away the sin of the world. And when Jesus took away our sin, he took away from Satan his fiercest power. The name Satan means accuser, and Satan's accusations are real and devastating. He accuses us of the very sins into which he leads us. He accuses us to destroy our faith and to get us to run away from God. Satan would have us believe that we can live Christian lives and retain the Christian faith. We can't. St. Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." If you live to please your sinful nature, you will drive faith right out of your heart. Christians can fall away from the faith after having faithfully confessed it. And when they do, it's usually not because they're persuaded by some kind of intellectual argument that God's word is unbelievable. The most common cause for falling away is latching onto sin without repentance. To keep God's word is not just to hold on to it as the truth. It is to use it against all lies against it. The name devil means slanderer. The father of lies is both accuser and slanderer. We go to church. We confess our sins to God, and God forgives us. We hear the words of Christ's minister absolving us. And then Satan calls those words into question. He says they're invalid. We go to church. We kneel at the altar and eat and drink the body and the blood of Jesus, the very body and blood by which our sins were taken away. But the accuser keeps on accusing us, even when God has pledged full and free forgiveness to us by the body and blood of his Son. The accuser is a slanderer. He denies the gospel, and he tries to get us to deny it too. So the battle was won when Christ died on the cross, but the battle continues to rage in the heart and soul of the Christian. We fight or we die. Those who hear God's word and keep it are those who do battle against the devil. They claim Christ's victory as their own. They know that in any battle, what matters is not how many times you're knocked down, but how many times you get back up. And they know that when they're weary and tired of contending, hammered by doubts, and have no power of their own to drive away the devil's temptations and lies, that the Word of God is God's almighty power. The one who fulfilled the law and suffered for us all has placed within his holy word the power that drives the devil away. It is the power of sin forgiven by Jesus' blood. God's word pronounces us innocent for the sake of Christ's vicarious obedience and death. Now, when you are innocent, the devil cannot touch you. He can't accuse you of past sins because they're forgiven. And he can't rob you of your faith because God's word assures you that what you are trusting in, what you are confessing, is true. The devil cannot withstand God's word. Jesus proved that to us. He cannot take away from you what the word of God guarantees you. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You're blessed by God to do battle, and Christ's victory is given to you. We thank you for being our guest today on Christ for Us. I'd like to tell you just a little bit about this broadcast. Christ for Us is the name of it. It is not Christ with us or Christ in us. Both of those are perfectly true, but we chose the preposition for, and the reason is Christ for us is the foundation of our Christian faith. What he did for us, he did as our substitute. And during this holy season of Lent, as our eyes are looking to Calvary, we see there Jesus taking the place of the whole human race. As he offers up to God his innocent life, and as he bears in his own body the sin of the whole world, that act of love, whereby he became the substitute for sinners, is what we put our trust in, and we know that for Jesus' sake, all our sins are forgiven by God. We invite you to visit one of the congregations of our parish, Sunday morning, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville at 8 o'clock, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 10:30, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile at noon, and Tuesday night at 7 at Grace, Wednesday night at 7 at First Evanger, and Thursday night at 7 at First American. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.